Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That was a point where you could stick a fork in the Patriots yesterday. Ugly, ugly sequence there. Nice breakdown by Archuleta. Again, I thought him and Ditas did a good job calling that awful game. But if you need a little bit more context than what we just gave you right there, after that horrific punt that I just could not wrap my head around, Patriots punting the ball away with 5 minutes left, not even under 5 minutes left on the clock, down two scores. They punted away, and the Raiders pick it up, and they're moving the ball, and then all of a sudden, Janty tries to go up the middle. He gets stuffed. Oh, they weren't moving the ball. There's a penalty, I think. It's the drive started with a penalty, and then they stuffed Janty twice, and then on third and 20, after a false start and two dead runs, Geno rolls out. Dante Thornton Jr., who I think was a fourth-round pick this year. I forget where he went to school, but he's a rookie receiver for the Raiders. Throws a fake on Carlton Davis that I just, you know, I mean, listen, I'm not saying I could go out there and guard him or anything like that, but Carlton Davis, I thought, could probably know that, yeah, it's third and 20. He's probably not going to cut in. You probably shouldn't bite on that on an all-out blitz. Which I didn't love that call either on an all third and 20 on an all out play. How about you just, you know, I know that in a situation like that, you try and hope for a turnover or, you know, something along those lines. And that's why you go for something dramatic like that. But then if you're doing that, you have got to protect the back line. And Davis biting on that fake. Ugh. It's part of the defense you invested in. Now, to be fair, I thought that many of the players that you brought in for this defense played well. I thought Spillane played well. I thought Williams was good in the middle. I thought Landry was good on the edge. You know, you had some improvements there, I'd say. And I don't know exactly if Milton Williams or Barmore, who exactly it was in the middle that was getting all the pressure on the run game, but you saw it right there. I mean, there were a couple of examples right there in that drive where you saw that the run defense was looking stout. Barmore, I think, got in there on that first one. I forget who made the tackle on the loss of the four. I think it was a blitzer, but I forget who it was. And that, to me, is, you know, something. But not enough, considering how much was invested in this defense. And especially when you take into consideration the fact here that the Patriots, while only giving up 20 points to a Raiders team, who I think is not going to be scoring a whole lot more than that over the course of the games they play this year, but you gave up 362 yards passing to Geno Smith, who kind of carved you up last year, too. And Geno Smith, while having this career renaissance that I think is admirable, you know, a guy like that, I just got done talking about all these quarterbacks who flamed out and got misused by their teams or bailed on too quickly by their teams, whatever it is, just mismanaged in general. And the Jets are notorious for that. I mean, they've been doing that for years and years and years. For decades, they've been doing that. Cleveland, too. A lot of teams just have not had that kind of luck. Even locking down a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback over this time. You know, I mean, it's been really, and for the Buffalo Bills, before Josh Allen got there, they had that same kind of problem, too. It is not that easy to do. The teams that end up with those guys make it look easy. And if they have an environment that works for them, they make that look easy for sure. Geno Smith didn't have that in New York with the Jets, but it turns out he can actually play. Turns out Sam Darnold didn't have that in New York with the Jets. Turns out he can actually play. Mark Sanchez couldn't play anywhere. Mark Sanchez was just a whiff. Zach Wilson, same thing. Can't play, stinks. But also, you know, those guys may have been ruined by playing for the Jets, a team that needs you to go out there and win right away, and if you don't, then they're useless to them, and that's how it goes. But as far as the defense is concerned, if you're going to emphasize the defense as much as they did, if you are going to go into free agency and make it almost all about your defense, I need to see Geno Smith struggle a little bit more than he did. I need to see Geno Smith sweat a little bit more than he did out there. I need to see Geno Smith not be able to convert a 3rd and 20, gotta have it, you know, to ice the game. And it was a gotta have it for the Patriots, as in gotta stop them from getting those 20 yards, and they couldn't. That was troubling. Did they stop the run? Sure. Are they better than last year's defense? I have to hope that they are. You can't invest that much money and bring in those kind of players and not get better. I don't buy that. You know, I don't buy it. Christian Gonzalez not being out there, and his status, I think, is going to be a big question mark that is going to follow his team around until he's back and healthy and 100%. And that's not going to change. But even without him, that was your big free agent corner who was supposed to be, you know, him and Gonzalez were supposed to be the lockdown guys there. And everyone else, you just kind of figure it out. But you got your left, you got your right. Whoever's in the inside, well, figure that out. No big deal. They can have help from the linebackers and the safeties. But on the outside, we're good. Carlton Davis got smoked by a rookie. And I can't help but remember that these veterans and guys that got brought in camp kind of got a pass. Carlton Davis was out, you know, jet skiing right before camp started. You know, Morgan Moses, some of the veterans, Landry. I don't know if Landry was one of them, but I know a lot of these guys, you know, they took their time. They took their time getting ready, and they were given a lot more benefit of the doubt than I feel like new guys in the past were given coming in here. And I think the reason for that is twofold. The first part of that reason is because Mike Vrabel really emphasized the idea that not only are we going to get the defense going again, but we are going to flush out all of this Belichick Mayo personnel. We are going to get most of these guys out of here, and we are going to make sure that they're replaced by our guys and guys that we like, and that's how it's going to go. And that was something that they really made a point of doing, to the point where you're scratching your head at some of these. By the way, speaking of guys that got cut and you scratch your head about them, Jabril Peppers tweeted something today. He was like, God, I can't believe the way life goes. Do we know what that was? Did Jabril Peppers sign somewhere? Or was that just vague tweeting? I guess he's just vague tweeting. Or maybe there's something in the works. I don't know. Either way, I can't imagine the guy's going to be out there in the street that long. You know, he's still a productive player. Either way, sloppy, I think, overall is the best way to define what we saw. Offensively, defensively, that was sloppy coverage there from Davis. The sloppy offensive line. Drake May played a sloppy game. Like, it was a sloppy game all around, I'd say. I don't think anybody can really, aside from, you know, maybe one or two players like Booty and a couple other guys, who can really look themselves in the mirror and be like, you know, I did my job. I did my job out there. Do your job, Bills version. I still can't get over that. That's so funny. 617-779-7937. Leland is in Boston. Go ahead, Leland.
Yeah, hi, Christian. If you notice that the Patriots have no playmakers, I'm certain that when Vrabel had the punt, he was hoping that someone on the defense would make a play. And on that 3rd down and 20, he was really let down. Mm-hmm. But had we actually stopped them we would have had a chance at that point to actually come back and possibly win the game.
Leland, where are you from?
I'm from Jamaica Plain.
Born and raised Jamaica Plain?
Boston, yeah.
Wow, okay. I was going to say, the accent, I couldn't tell. Yeah, you know what, Leland, thanks for the call. Call back anytime, and I think you're right. You know, I think you're right about that. Jamaica, he sounded like he was from down south, didn't he? I was picking up like a southern accent there. The worst one I ever had, though, was with Jackson. Jackson, who works here. Jackson on the morning show. Because I used to work with briefly Jackson when I worked at the other station. Jackson worked there and did overnights. And so when I was doing the night show, sometimes I'd say, you know, I'd be leaving as he'd be getting there to do the overnight. And I remember the first time I met him, I thought he was from a different country. Like, I thought he was like an, you know, like he was a foreign, like a student who was here and was into sports and like, you know. And I remember talking to him and, you know, he's got that funny accent. And then I finally was like, so Jackson, where are you from? He's like, Hyde Park. And I was like, what? Where? Hyde Park. Oh, Hyde Park. Yeah, okay. Wait, you're from Hyde Park?
Like, yeah.
I was like, what? Like, I thought he was going to say like Denmark or something. Like, I don't know. It's a place where Scotland, you know, like some country where people look like that and talk like that. And no, he's born and raised in Hyde Park. And if you really listen to him for a long time, like I didn't hear him talk that much because now he talks all the time. But like back then, he was just a board op. You didn't hear him. And, you know, if you listen to him talk long enough, you can start to pick it up. It's like an old timey kind of Hyde, but one of those old timey Boston accents, not like a Kennedy accent, but like, you know, it's really just a Jackson accent. It's the best way to describe it.
You do a good one.
I mine's okay, but the guy in the morning show who does the Jackson calls, that is tremendous. Oh, every morning I'm driving my son to school, I listen in for those, and if I don't hear one, it like ruins my day. That guy who does the Jackson impression, that's like my favorite part of right now. Currently, every like week I have a new favorite part of that show. Right now it's the Jackson guy. He was singing something this morning that was cracking me up. Oh, I forget. It was like, where have all the cowboys gone? But it was like a Jackson version of it. It was so funny.
And it was about like Costco and BJ's or something.
Yeah, yeah, the Costco cowboy.
He's great. The Jackson guy is great. He also does one of the other impressions on that show, I believe, too.
Oh, really?
I think he's Coco's friend. Like, that guy is also the Jackson guy.
Got it.
So he's well-versed.
Yeah. And I'm glad, by the way, that there are people contributing impressions and stuff like that. Because back in the day on the Weiner line with the Ordway, you kids, you don't know. You don't know about the big show in
Ordway. I'm 22.
I know. So when I was 22, the big show, Glenn Ordway and the big show with him and Pete the Meat and the rotating cast of Pete, we're doing a little WEI history here tonight. They would, it was those two, it was Glenn and Pete, and they would have rotating third and fourth chairs that would come in. And that launched a lot of careers in town. It launched, you know, almost everybody at 98.5. It was just all these people, you know. Who would come in and do it. Reporters at the time and, you know, the TV personalities and stuff like that, they would all come in at various points, and it was like something new every day. And Glenn, when he did it, he had this thing called the Weiner line, which would come on at the end of the show, and for the last 10, 15 minutes of the show, people would call in all day long and leave voicemails, and they would do impressions, and they would tell jokes, and they would do all these different things, and they were really, really funny. And there was this one guy named Greg Murphy who was so funny. He would do impressions of the crowd. I mean, he would do all sorts of stuff. Ended up having a career in stand-up comedy. Still doing it today, I believe. And I know he probably doesn't like me, but I remember that guy being just every single time the Weiner line would come on, if Murphy had like a wine, it was you'd glued to the radio. It was always funny. Always. Every single time. I met him once, and he was cracking me up the entire time. And I don't know what he's up to these days, but yeah, it's cool that that sort of thing is like back at the station. Because I remember back when I was your age, Tom, that was like a huge part of like this whole thing here. And the Weiner line was just the best. And that was, you know, that was back in the day. This is a long time ago now. That these I feel like this weird link to the past right now. You know, like a lot of people listening, you're like, yeah, the Big Show Ordway, of course. But like you gotta keep people up to speed on these things. You know. You got to keep the youth informed. Otherwise, they'll never know. 617-779-7937. If Greg Murphy's listening right now, if anybody knows Greg Murphy, tell him I'm talking about him. Have him call in. Or ask him if he'd like to call in. The number 617-779-7937. I love to talk to him. That guy's hilarious. I think he's hilarious. But he's no Jackson guy in the morning. Wouldn't it be funny if after all these years Murphy doing that, Like Murphy just pops back up and he's like leaving all those messages. I feel like when I do my impression of Jackson, like it sounds like I'm making fun of him, but I'm not. That is what he sounds like, right?
It is absolutely what he sounds like.
You know, that is how he talks. And I love Jackson. I think Jackson's hilarious.
He is one of one for sure.
He is. Like, there's nobody like him, you know? Like, he's yeah.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. When he told me the story about how he was going to the hospital, like, he had, like, a family member in the hospital, so he parked, like, really far away from the hospital and then walked along the river to get to the hospital, and he stopped to take a leak, and he fell in the river. I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard. Like the way he tells a story is just great too.
My favorite is the baseball through the windshield of his car because
That one.
So he was driving past like a baseball field in Hyde Park, and I would drive by it every single day coming to work from Curry when I was still at school there.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I would see it every day. And every time I drove by, I'd think of, you know, I can see how Jackson, because Kearns gives him a lot of grief about that, because he's like, there's no way it happened. But the way the ballpark is set up with the streets, it is possible if a foul ball goes very far left to hit a car windshield. And his story is he was thinking about it happening. And then the next thing you know, there's a baseball on his...
He manifested it.
Literally manifested it. It's the greatest story.
I always worry about that when I drive by like a golf course. Like some a-hole who sucks like I do is going to like shank one right
into
the street.
My older brother Owen has done that.
Yeah.
Lady called the cops on him.
Really?
Yeah.
Called the cops?
Yep.
Well, you think he did it on purpose?
No, he sucks.
Imagine if you could like hit a moving car on purpose. Like, yeah, I'm going to get that guy. Boom. You'd be the greatest player in the world. You'd be better than Tiger Woods if you could do that.
It was on the Cape too, so it was some super uptight, like rich, wealthy, stuck-up lady who was like, I'm not paying for this windshield.
Mm. Well, call 1-800-54-GIANT since we're getting nostalgic here. 617-77. Who do you call when Thomas's brother hit your windshield with a golf ball? Call Giant Glass. That's too wordy for that jingle, I think. That's also another famous jingle from back in the day. 617-779-7937. We took a big left here in this segment. I can only bitch about the Patriots so much. You know, I can really only get to so many complaints and things that I have after one game. I've given you the few positives. I've given you all the negatives. We'll continue with our Patriots conversation. However, we are going to take a bit of a break from that and from WEEI history when we get into our New England Nightly News, which is coming up and is all about Rhode Island today. Rhode Island very much in the news. So if you're down there in Rhode Island, make sure you tune in. I got some news about things happening in your state that you're going to want to hear about. But first, here's Thomas.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With what's trending?
New England Nightly News.
All right, it's just about 8:30. That means it's time for your New England Nightly News here on the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI as we are live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. But right now, I'm not talking about Brighton. I'm not even talking about Massachusetts. Both pieces of news we have today come to us from the great state of Rhode Island.
We're off on the road to Rhode Island. We're having having the time of our lives.
Take it, dog.
We're quite a pair of partners, just like Thelma and Louise. Except you're not 6 feet tall.
Yes, and your breasts don't reach your knees.
Give it time.
We're off.
Remember this?
On the road to
Rhode Island. I remember this is like early Family Guy, this song. All right, you can turn this off. Anyway, in Rhode Island, there's a lot going on. Lots going on, including potentially the biggest wedding ever.
Rhode Island could host one of the biggest celebrity weddings in recent memory.
That's according to a report in Page Six. The New York Post gossip column says Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are indeed planning to marry here in Rhode Island, and it may happen fairly soon. Ethan Logue went down to Westerly to ask people there what they thought of the rumor.
Residents and visitors alike submitting their pitches for the star couple to tie the knot in southern Rhode Island.
Should be good.
People saying it's not only a scenic destination, but it will benefit the area as well.
This is going to be like the royal wedding. It's really going to be a knockout.
Time out. This is going to be bigger than the royal wedding. I'm sorry, it is. The royal wedding was what? And there's a royal wedding all the time. There's all these people in the family. They all get married. Like, big deal. There was already a royal wedding. There's another royal wedding. You know, like you keep having these royal weddings. It's not really that impressive. Taylor Swift only gets married once, we think. I mean, we'll see. We'll see if this lasts. But this is Taylor Swift's first wedding, okay? There's been royal weddings all through over time. There's only one Taylor Swift. There's only one Tay-Tay. And they're talking about having this happen down in Rhode Island. Some publications have said the pair are in no rush to wed. However, insiders tell Page Six they're getting married next summer and that she is in a hurry to have children. And if that's the case, oh boy, Travis, your life's about to change. Not because of the kids, but of the woman in the rush to have the kid. Like, that's when your relationship, like, once it starts becoming like a mission, you know, like, come on, let's go. It's time. Here it is. Where are you? I'm waiting. We discussed it. Now's the time. You know, when that part of your relationship, and I don't know what their relationship's like. I can't imagine it's like any relationship I've ever had or with anyone and anyone that I've ever known has ever had. It's probably nothing like any of that. But I do know there's one thing that all relationships have, okay? And that's, you know, intimacy. And when the intimacy becomes, all right, you know, here it is, let's chop chop, let's go, let's make it happen, then relationships change. They do. And you don't always know if you can survive them or not. Now, my wife and I, we've survived it, okay? Barely. But, you know, you don't know until you're there. You don't know until you're there. When the lady decides it's time, then you have to be ready. You have to be on guard at all time. And I'm sure he won't have a problem with that part of it. The problem you may have, though, is when it becomes like a chore, you know, and it becomes like a thing you have to do. And it's like, all right, can you do the dishes and can you clean the basement and that we need to make a baby too. You know what I mean? Like when that's part, it just becomes this whole different dynamic in the relationship. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's working enough for them that they'll be able to withstand that. I hope they do. And I hope they have a lot of, you know, buff little kids who can also sing. Governor Dan McKee, Rhode Island governor, says Rhode Island has some of the best wedding venues in the world. Is that true? Best in the world? I mean, it's got to have some good ones. Swift has a mansion still in Watch Hill, which is currently undergoing a $1.7 million renovation. Interesting. Updates include a new wing, new bedroom, some more bathrooms, an update to the kitchen. Of course, she purchased the home back in 2013. 8 bedrooms, 10 bathrooms, 5.25 acres with gardens and a swimming pool. I'll say this. It's not a very impressive swimming pool. I'm looking at it right now. I would expect Taylor Swift's mansion in Newport to have a better swimming pool than that. That's kind of a schmeh swimming pool.
Do you think that's where she wants to raise the kids if she's doing the whole new addition?
At the mansion in Rhode Island?
Yeah.
No, probably not. Is she going to be a Rhode Island mom? Like, I don't know. I don't think so. I think she's going to be like an L.A. mom, you know, or like in New York, something like that. I don't know where she spends like most of the year. Like, I don't know what her home base is. She doesn't, like, live in this mansion. It's, like, one of her many properties that she has. I don't know what her, like, primary residence is, but I'd imagine it probably won't be there. Although, it should be. I mean, listen, Newport's a great place. But it's a little tough year round on the ocean like that up in the Northeast. It's different. It's not like you're, you know, it's not like you're in Malibu and it's beautiful weather all the time. Like, you know, half the season you're there, you're down in Providence or Newport, wherever it is. And, you know, it's not exactly a tropical paradise. You got to cover the pool. You got to do all this stuff. Not that she's doing any of that, but you know what I mean. Anyway, good for them. And on a less, well, it could be a good story for anybody who ends up maybe being on the right side of a purchase here. But since we're talking about properties in Rhode Island, outside of Tay-Tay and Travis, there's another property in Rhode Island that is going up for sale. That was in a famous movie franchise.
You could be the new owner of a very haunted property as the Conjuring House heads to auction in Rhode Island. The farmhouse, made famous by the films, is located in Burrillville and includes 8.5 acres of land. It was previously sold in 2022 for $1.5 million and turned into a tourist attraction where people can search for spirits and even stay overnight. The auction is set to take place on Halloween.
That's cool. That's cool they're having it on Halloween. I think that's pretty cool. If you don't know the story about the Conjuring House, first of all, I've never seen The Conjuring. Have you seen that movie?
No, I don't mess with scary movies at all.
You don't like scary
movies?
You're a bit of a nervous Nelly, aren't you?
Yes.
I could see you not being into that, yeah. I haven't seen The Conjuring. I know there's like 5 Conjurings, and I haven't seen any of them. And I also didn't even know that the movie took place in Rhode Island. Does it take place? It does take place in Rhode Island, right?
I've seen the intro to it because a girl I was seeing freshman year of college was like, let's watch it. And the intro starts with, based on a true story. I got up and left that dorm room so fast, Arcan. I don't think I sprinted out of there.
Really? All scary movies, like even like, you know, Freddy Krueger and Jason and all that. Like, you don't like any of that?
Scream, I've seen a couple of those, like the scary movie spoof, and like Sinners, if you call that a scary movie, it's listed as a horror. Besides
that,
I
haven't seen Sinners.
Phenomenal. Okay. I'm a huge, I mean, Haley Steinfeld, Josh Allen. I hate Josh Allen for that very specific reason. A great movie though.
Okay. All right. This house is a great house. I mean, it's a great set for a scary movie, and they've sold it a few times. What's interesting about this is that there's been some drama with this house already because the previous owner was this woman named Jacqueline Nunez, who purchased it back in 2022 for $1.5 million. And she turned it into like a tourist thing. Like people could come and spend the night there. And, you know, it was like this supernatural. It was like a thing for like ghost hunters and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It became like this attraction for people like that. And there's a lot of people like that in the world, I guess. I'm not one of those people. You know, I'm not. It's not like I'd be scared to do it. I just don't care. You know, like the Lizzie Borden house and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, OK, I'm in a house. So what? I don't think the ghosts are going to get me. I never really bought into that stuff. And with scary movies, too, I'm not saying this to try and sound like macho or anything, but I always thought scary movies were kind of goofy. Like, I always thought, like, Freddy Krueger was, like, goofy looking. I was like, this guy is, I guess he's scary, like, he's, like, gross, but I don't know. I just didn't think he was scary. There's certain movies where, like, there were scary things that had, like, scary movies. Like, Dr. Giggles. You ever heard of Dr. Giggles?
Nope.
Dr. Giggles was this really dumb movie in the 90s or the 80s. About this doctor who killed people, basically. I mean, that was the whole movie. It wasn't very deep. But Dr. Giggles freaked me out. Other than that, like, I didn't really have, like, a ton of, like, scary movies. Like the computer in 2001, A Space Odyssey used to freak me out. You know, like, I can't do that, Dave. And he, like, kills the astronauts. Like, that freaked me out because the astronauts couldn't reason with the computer, and the computer could just kill them all. And there was no way to, like, do it unless you reprogrammed it. Like, spoiler alert, they did at the end, where it plays that weird song. That freaked out. Like, stuff like that freaked me out. But, like, traditional horror movies from that era, I thought were, even as a kid, I just thought were kind of dumb. The Conjuring, though, I'll check it out because I do want to see this house in action. Anyway, the reason why this house is now for sale is because the previous owner fired the old property manager and claimed that the spirit of the guy who owned the house in the 19th century told her to. Just let me repeat that. She fired an employee because she said the ghost of a guy who died over 300 years ago or over 200 years ago told her that he was stealing from her. He sued her, and then they revoked her license, and then she kept operating, and the cops showed up. It was this whole thing, and they finally forced her to sell the thing, and it's going up for auction. Or I think maybe they, like, took it from her, and now, like, the company that took it, whatever, they're putting it up for auction, and it'll start on Halloween. And I'm sure it's going to get a pretty penny. It doesn't matter. Even if you were the set of, like, a crap movie or a terrible TV show, It doesn't really matter. People are into that stuff. Like the Breaking Bad house, I feel like every couple of years you hear that Breaking Bad house is for sale, and it's in this like whatever neighborhood in Albuquerque, but it like sells for $5 million, which is like, all right, this dinky little house, like cool. The Brady Bunch house, I think, wasn't there? Or maybe the Brady Bunch house was a set. I forget, but stuff like that I think is generally pretty cool.
Didn't Matt Rife just buy something to do with the Annabelle movies, like the doll or maybe the house from the movie?
So Matt Rife is into that stuff. Yeah, he bought some house, some like freaky house. I forget which one it is.
And all the previous owners died mysteriously, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Something spooky happened with all. Again, why would you even play with something like this, Arcan? Go buy a different house.
If you're a weirdo, I guess. Let's see. Matt Rife is the owner of a Connecticut home that once belonged to the famed ghost hunting couple Ed and Lorraine Warren. And as a fan of the paranormal film and the history of the property and the land it sits on, I'd be an honor to help preserve its beauty, Rife said last month. Is Matt Rife, is that his thing? Like his comedy career? Like, is he now just into like buying weird houses?
I mean, when you're young and have money, you buy stupid stuff.
It's true. People still like him? Is he still popular?
I think he's good with his crowd work. I've seen a couple of his stand-up specials on like YouTube, and his TikTok clips always pop up, like the same one over and over with the mom and the hot daughter. But I think he's okay. He's not like my favorite, but he's okay.
Okay. I know some local comedians I've talked to, not who I've actually had on the show, but other people that I've talked to who like really... I don't know if they like just don't like him or they like resent how he got famous really quickly or whatever, but like there's some of that with him. I think it looks like he's had a lot of work done, right? Matt Rife, like a lot
of
work.
He's very popular with, I know like girls I went to high school with all went to his show to meet him because they think he's like attractive and he's jacked. Mm-hmm. Not an ugly looking guy.
It's a Jared Carabas effect, you know, you dreamboat, you know, you got the girls all over the place.
Jealous.
Yeah, I mean, who isn't? Well, town officials in Burrville confirmed that the sale date will be Halloween, and that's pretty good. I think they're gonna do well. I think they're gonna make some money off of this thing. And I can't believe that the previous owner fumbled the bag so bad. But I guess if you're really into that world, if you're really into the paranormal ghost hunting world, and you have a vision and the ghost of the owner tells you, hey, this guy's still, you gotta go with it, right? Otherwise, are you really a paranormal weirdo or not? Like, you know, it's either you are or you're not. You're either about that life or you're not. And this Nunez lady clearly was, but it ended up costing her the house. 617-779-7937. There is your New England Nightly News as we take a trip to the Ocean State. Let's go to, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I got a call from Rhode Island coming in right now. This is Jim in Rhode Island. He claims he's been to this ghost house. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to call in. Thanks for picking up my call so promptly.
Sure.
I've been to the Conjuring House. I didn't know it was the Conjuring House at the time that I went there. I had to deliver a boiler.
You had to deliver a boiler to the Conjuring. Okay, so you weren't like a guest at the house. Like you just drove there and dropped the boiler off.
Nope, I went there and there was nobody there.
Mm-hmm. How long ago was this?
For Supply House. I'd say about probably 6 years ago.
Okay, so recently, since the movies came out. Okay, all right, got you.
Yep. And I never heard of the movies or anything. And I was just told, go to the house, drop the boiler off. There'll be some, you know, a crew there to install it at a certain time, whatever. Uh-huh. So I go there, I drop it off. There's nobody there. I called my customer's office, and the secretary there, I described to her. I said, am I at the right house? I'm not sure. She goes, oh, describe it to me. And I was like, really scary looking. I looked in the windows, and I felt like something was looking back at me.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, yep, that's the right house.
That's the right house.
And she mentioned about the movie and stuff. I go, really? And I'm like, I'm glad I didn't have to go down to the basement with that boiler because I kind of just left it there and took off.
All right. It's a good story, Jim.
That's how the movie sounds like it starts.
Right.
I'm not going to lie.
That does sound like the beginning of a horror movie. Guy shows up to drop off a boiler. There's nobody there. Calls the house. Is this the right house? Does it look like there's someone looking at you? Yeah, actually, it does. Yeah, it's the right house then. Just go knock on the door there. Knock on the door and all of a sudden. I think in The Conjuring, there's like a spirit in the house. And it like, they try and do like an exorcism. I think that's how that movie goes. I was reading about it a little bit because I was like, oh, I've never seen this movie. And then they had like four sequels. Rich Keefe probably be better on this story than I would, but I did want to at least mention it because I do think it's cool when, you know, houses from movies and TV shows come up for sale. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. What the hell? Let's take one more call. Johnny is in Brooklyn with a thought on Drake May and the history of WEEI. Go ahead, Johnny.
Arcan, thanks for taking the call. I was cracking up listening to that last guy. But yeah, quick on the EEI history. Probably like 12 years ago, there was a guy doing the night show called, his name was John Ryder.
Yeah.
And to tie it in, he was great.
Love John
and
Ryder.
And to tie it into the Boston accents, there was a call one day. I'll never forget it. This guy goes, he goes, Ryder, brother, how are you? And I'll never forget. It was hilarious. I didn't get a laugh from you, but I thought it was funny.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't very funny, but that's okay. John Ryder is in a lot of ways the reason why I'm sitting in the seat right now. I'm not kidding. I was working in New Hampshire with Tom King, as a matter of fact. This is like a This Is Your Life type of show right now. I was working in New Hampshire with Tom King, and I was really trying to get, at the time, trending was called the Sports Flash, and it was the people who did the Sports Flash, aside from Pete, but then Pete was gone. It was sort of like farmed out to this company called Metro, Total Traffic. And Ryder and a bunch of John Saucier and Scott Sudikoff and all these people were there doing it. And I was really trying to like break into that group, and I could not do it. And at the time I was, and if Cindy, if you're listening, earmuffs, at the time I was seeing a girl who worked at the Grand Canal, which is no longer there. It was a bar used to be on Canal Street called the Grand Canal. And she told me one day, she's like, hey, do you know John Ryder? I said, yeah. She goes, oh yeah, he comes in sometime. Next time he's in, I'll call you. Come down there and, you know, you can meet him. And so she did. She called me. I came down there. I met him, and we talked for a while, and he was really, really nice. And he said he'd give my name to the people over at Traffic, the Total Traffic, and then someone left. It was this guy, Mike Leslie. He ended up leaving for Texas, where he's, like, currently a news anchor out there. And he left, and they needed someone, and they had my name, and they had it because of John Ryder, and that's how I broke in, and that's why I'm here right now. So really, I owe it all to John Ryder and the Grand Canal. So thanks for bringing that up, Johnny. That was a nice little memory right there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the Patriots have now got this weird narrative forming that I'm not exactly sure where it started from. Chris Curtis brought it up today, and it's now become a thing. And it's, is Drake May, is winning the most important thing for Drake May? Chris Curtis asked it to Mike Vrabel. Andy Hart asked it to Drake May. We will tackle that question next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Concerned at all about how important it is for Drake May to win? Do you think it's the most important thing for him?
God, I hope so. I mean, I hope it, winning is as important for everybody. And I want the best from everybody. I want a competitive spirit. And if I don't see that, you know, then we'll have to make decisions and changes at every level.
Mike Vrabel this morning on the Greg Hill Show is Chris Curtis asking the question. I remember hearing that this morning and be like, huh, where'd that come from? Like, who said Drake May doesn't want to win? You know what I mean? I wasn't sure where that was coming from. I didn't really get it. And then we'll hear this in a second. Andy Hart asked Drake May directly the question about it. And I remember thinking at that point, too, wow, this thing really spread pretty quickly, huh? Because that wasn't a criticism I heard much last year, that Drake May didn't care about winning. You heard that about, like, Caleb Williams, you know, just him being sort of a weird guy and all that, and maybe he's not all bought in. And, you know, you heard it about guys like Zach Wilson in the past and, you know, Mac Jones and, you know, other guys like that. But I didn't remember anyone saying it about Drake May last year. And maybe I missed it. I wasn't saying it. I don't remember anyone saying that. And then to hear it after week one this year, it's a little bit different. It's like, well, wait a minute. Did they lose because he didn't want to win? Is that I didn't quite get that sense. I don't think he played well, but I think he wanted to play well. You know, I think he was trying out there. I don't think he was letting his hand off the rope or anything. And if you remember, I mean, you know, Tennessee last year, he wanted to win that game. He made that great play at the end of regulation to tie it, and then he had that awful interception in overtime, obviously. But he was out there making plays. He was out there trying to win the game. So I'm not sure exactly how this all sprouted up the way it did, but Drake May answered the question, I thought, pretty well when Andy asked him.
How much do you want to win? There are people out there that are wondering, are you like, do you have the killer instinct to win? How much do you want to win in the NFL?
Shoot, I mean, that's why I play the game. You play the game to win, and that's what we're all, you know, spend so much time doing, you know, winning. I think, you know, losing is the opportunity to learn from it and build it, but shoot, winning is the ultimate goal playing this game, and that's what you play for, to win Super Bowls, and you know, starts with us with winning each week, and I wouldn't be doing anything for anything else besides winning.
Okay, good answer. I thought it was a fine question and a good answer. And when I say a fine question, I mean, when you ask a question like that, you're giving the subject an opportunity to talk about how much they love winning, which is what I think people wanted to hear. I didn't necessarily need to hear it. I never questioned Drake May's commitment to winning, but if it's something that's, you know, out there or something that is worth talking about. Now, I thought those two answers were kind of different, by the way. I thought that Mike Vrabel's answer was a little less committal than Drake May's was, and it was more Drake May's question to answer than it was Mike Vrabel's. But you know what I mean? Like, I didn't get the sense that Mike Vrabel thought it was a dumb question. If that makes any sense. And maybe Drake May did. But if I'm Drake May, I'm not looking at that as a dumb question. I'm looking at that as an opportunity to tell everybody and put out a soundbite of how much I care about winning and how winning's the only thing that matters. And, you know, I'm a winner and that's all I am. And that's, you know, that's when you, and he should thank Andy for giving him an alley-oop like that, because that was a good question and a good answer. That being said, when a player is in a situation or on a team that seems to be a dead-end team, even if you're a good quarterback, talented quarterback, like think of someone like Trevor Lawrence, for example. Trevor Lawrence was about as ballyhooed of a draft prospect coming out of Clemson as you can remember. I mean, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Trevor Lawrence, these are the kind of names he was mentioned with, okay? As one of the all-timers. Marino, you know, like that's the type of hype he had coming out of college. And it was warranted. He was that good in college. And he gets out to Jacksonville with Urban Meyer and that whole bleep show going on there in Florida. And it was a disaster. And it's been different since then. He's had different coaches, different coordinators, different players around him. But I think eventually, even a guy like Trevor Lawrence, I'm sure as soon as he got to the NFL, all he wanted to do was win. But sometimes you get humbled by the situation that you're in, and you realize that winning isn't necessarily going to happen, even if you give it all you got, even if you play your best. You know, this is not a winning team. You're not on a winning team. You're not on a winning organization or a winning franchise. So what happens? Your priorities change. I'm doing everything I can, and we're not winning. So now what? Well, now I'm going to make it about me getting my stats. All right? If we're not going to win anyway, then what's the difference? And I'm not saying we're there with Drake May yet by any means, but I'm saying that's next. Okay? That's the next step when it comes to young quarterbacks, bad teams, dead-end organizations that don't seem to be improving. And we're not there yet with the Patriots. I'm just setting it up for you. And if you think I'm getting a little too close to the bone, well, maybe I am. But, you know, that's next. I don't think there's a problem with Drake May caring about winning right now. I think he cares plenty about winning. But I also understand how priorities can change based on the environment that you're in. And I don't think the environment that Drake May's in right now is one that's super conducive to winning. Do you? What's his record as a starter? Like 1-13 or something? Like, you know, he's not winning a lot of games. He's not going out there and winning games. And that takes a toll on a young quarterback. It does. Going out there, getting blown out, you know, losing to the Raiders, losing to the games that they lost last year, in the manner that they lost them in, not really getting anything going with your offense in that entire second half, that's the type of stuff that can weigh on a young quarterback. In that article in The Athletic, Peyton Manning said there was one game against the Patriots. His rookie year, he threw three interceptions in the first three quarters, and he was begging the coach to take him out. I think the coach was Jim Moore, actually. Playoffs? I think that was him. And he was like, he kept looking over, thinking, God, I hope he takes me out. And Moore said, no, I'm not taking you out. You got to go in there. You got to finish this game. You got to work through this. And it's like, imagine that. Peyton Manning begging to get taken out of a game, you know? That can happen. It can happen to a young player. It can happen to a young player with the spotlight on him and the pressure of an organization on him, and it can especially happen in a place that's not supporting him. And I'm waiting to see. I'm waiting to see the Patriots look like a team that's truly supporting their quarterback, because it's been a while. It's been since Mac's rookie year that they've looked like a team that was even capable of doing that. And that's a shame. You know, you may not have the best facilities, you may not have the best, you know, childcare or whatever, the best cafeteria, best weight room, all that stuff, but you should be able to, after 20 years of Tom Brady and doing things Tom Brady's way, you should be able to foster an environment that is conducive for a young quarterback to, at the very least, maybe not be successful right away and hit the ground running, but at the very least, to be able to function. After that rookie year, Mac Jones, that was dysfunctional. And now here's Drake May on his second head coach and second offensive coordinator in 2 years. And you're heading down that path again. It's still time to get off it. There's still time to, you know, come to a fork in the road or something and go a different way. But right now you're headed right down that same path. And it's scary, you know? He's talking about movies and Freddy Krueger and stuff you're scared of. I'm scared of another four-win season. That's what I'm really scared of. I'm scared of that more than anything. Or maybe I'm more than anything other than the Red Sox blowing it, getting knocked out of the playoffs. That's scary, too. The Red Sox, by the way, interesting weekend for them. They avoid the sweep last night, or yesterday, I should say. It was technically last night. And it was funny how it all timed out, because right as the Patriots game ended, the Red Sox started. And I was sitting there going, man, if we watch that Patriots game and they lose to Vegas and then the Red Sox go out there and get swept, I'm not going to sleep tonight. So thank God. Thank God that happened, and thank God my Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson touchdown parlay hit as well. Easiest money I've ever made in my life. I wish those two teams would play each other every week. Just bet on those two scoring a touchdown. You'll win every single time. But for the Red Sox, Aroldis Chapman's the man. Sadon Rafael, a great catch. We got the A's tonight, the Oklahoma A's. And I got to tell you, the A's are a team that worries me. If they can have trouble like that with the Diamondbacks, then the A's can give them trouble too. Kind of a similar team. You know, some sneaky good pitchers in that rotation and a top four or five in their lineup that can mash. There are, I think, four guys that are on pace for 30 home runs on that team right now, on that A's team. And part of it's because they're playing in a little league ballpark over there in Sutter Field. But that, you know, that to me is indicative of a team that you can't take lightly. This was supposed to be the easy part of the schedule. They got the Yankees next and then the A's again. But this whole stretch here with the Pirates and Cleveland and all these teams, this was supposed to be when you really created a lot of distance. And so far, they haven't done that. So far, it's been a little bit of the opposite. And now you got an A's team who's kind of feisty themselves. And that's all the time we have here on the Christian Arcan Show. Shout out to Tom King. Shout out to Thomas. Great job as always. Stick around. Red Sox baseball is next. The Mass Mutual pregame show with me is coming your way right after this. Good night.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season,
from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.